we are.
We are so girlfriends, in fact, that is it up yet?
No, there will be a, coming up on our Facebook page at some point in the next hour. We had a shared medical experience.
A malady that we didn't know. We had them separately, and then we found out. I said, I had the weirdest thing happen, and I went on and told Kathy, and she said, well, that's really too weird because I had that also today for the one and only time, and this was my one and only time.
Details to follow.
Well, you know, if we still
check
had
our Facebook
page. If we still had our periods, we'd just have had
probably
our period together.
That. Exactly. Exactly.
Right, right.
I think that knowledge, that theory, which I think has since been disproven, but that theory that women who live in groups tend to go on the same menstrual cycle.
Same cycle, yeah.
I think that came after we had been on the air together during the years when that was a factor for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know that we ever even checked that out. I don't know that we ever would come in and go, you got your period? You got your period? I don't think we ever did.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
But we'd have our hot flashes at the same
yes,
time.
Yes, we would. Yes, we would. All right.
Where I do this volunteer work at this place called Random Acts of Flowers, most of the women are younger than I am. And
as in the world.
Oh, yeah, right. And so I heard them talking about hot flashes, and I just thought, oh, that is so yesterday.
Yeah, probably,
I'm so happy. In fact, thank you for all of you who responded on our Facebook page about Random Acts of Flowers. You can read about it on our page. The only location that they're putting these flowers together and giving them to hospitals is in Evanston. But so many of you from the western suburbs and Naperville. Is Naperville a western suburb?
Mm-hmm.
Including Naperville, asked if there was anything near you. And to date, there isn't anything like that. This organization is in four cities. But go on the page.
And it's a group that gets flowers that are going to get thrown away from funeral homes, from where else?
From Pro Florist, from Whole Foods, from Mariano's. And they're not so – most of the flowers that come in don't look like they're going to be, like, alive for 2 minutes. They look like they came
from
a
florist.
Have seen
better times, right.
No, they don't look like they've seen better times.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. And that's the amazing thing. And I guess it's just I don't know why. But anyway, but you know what happens? This is everybody loves doing the flowers that's there. There's probably about 20 women in a big warehouse. But there are women who go before you're supposed to be picking your flowers, which starts at 9:30,
mm-hmm.
and they get in there early, and you're only supposed to take enough for two arrangements, and they scoop up the flowers ahead of time. They're like the flower hoarders.
You know that happens everywhere. That happens with sales and in any organization. There's always people that try to get around the way things are. So they're just poop heads.
Well, how else would that happen?
That is my decision.
You go into your job. Now, how would that manifest itself if you were going into a an office job? What would you do? Would you get a bunch of new paper?
I don't know. You know the day the good new office supplies come in. So you go get in line ahead of everybody else and get the best staples.
Or the day they deliver Mirai sweet corn to the station.
What happens
when that happens?
Now you got to make sure you get your little satchel of corn before anybody else does.
Right.
So is there kind of a, what's it called, a something feed?
The key is you get there before Marlene does.
Because she puts rules on it.
Well, yeah. Well, Marlene is really great at organization, and so she'll scoop up all the Mirai sweet corn and then pass it out individually to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows, you know, probably who should get the sweet corn first. Like the hosts that talk about it on the air should probably get the corn first. But if you spy the corn before she's got it, you just pick your little bag up
there
yourself.
There you are. So I think that's a universal thing.
I think you did that, Kristen. I'm watching your face, and you so did that.
I think I have. But then whenever Marlene would give me my bag, I'd be like, oh, no, I already have one. So I wouldn't take two. But I just
Not a double dipper, but a hoarder.
But a hoarder, yeah, there you go.
Right. So I was reading an article in the paper last week that talked about a study that the World Health Organization did, and it was regarding teenagers. This was in Europe, and who are the least happy age and gender of teenagers. Don't ask me why this was done. This is
okay. So, like to say, 15-year-old girls and 18-year-old
boys.
That was exactly
it. How did you know that?
I did not.
Oh, today's getting weird on us.
Just
oh my God.
Is it 15-year-old girls and 18-year-old boys?
No. They didn't even mention the boys. So 15-year-old girls. And I thought back, what was I at 15? And I just thought it would be fun to talk to people at 312-981-7200. You can text us at that number. Who were you at 15?
Well, I think it would be easier for many of us to remember who our daughters were at 15. I can't remember who I was at 15.
Well,
I'm sure
I'm
my memory has made me perfect.
I remember who I was.
Do you?
Yes. And
were
I
you a little bitch?
Oh, no.
Oh.
I had the worst haircut of my whole career of experiencing bad haircuts sometimes.
Okay.
I had short hair that was supposed to be straight, kind of like the way I can straighten my hair now, but it has waves in it all around your face.
Okay, but that's about appearance. That's not about your attitude.
Let me continue.
Sorry.
And then I had, and I will continue about appearance, I'd finally gotten my contact lenses, but my braces were not off. I had a group of friends that was most definitely not the popular girls, and I had never been invited to a school dance when I was a freshman. I actually had never was invited to a school dance in the 4 years, but I asked somebody to be to go to the Sadie Hawkins Day thing, and I thought he was going to be a real nice guy, and he was embarrassed to be there with me. And my level of confidence was really low. And yes,
right.
I was quite unhappy.
Okay,
you want to remember your daughter or you? You don't remember who you were. At
15? I remember that Colleen, and I can't remember if it was exactly at 15. I remember the period of time when Colleen was embarrassed of my existence. That mm-hmm. the fact that I existed was embarrassing. And in the store, I remember on one or two occasions, I was not allowed to speak her name. So if we were in the store and she was looking at one rack and I was looking at another rack, I would say, Colleen. And she'd go, Mom. Oh, okay. Now it's fine. I mean, she's a grown up. I'm a grown up. It's fine. But I remember.
So she was just like the girl in My Big Fat Greek Wedding too, with the Nia Vardalos' daughter, who was so embarrassed of her parents.
Oh, yes, exactly. Exactly. So 312-981-7200, you can text us or you can call us your memories of what you were like as a 15-year-old girl. What's the boy age that's the most difficult?
I don't have the article in front of me. I don't know.
Oh, okay. The 15-year-old girl thing just stuck out for you. So standard-wise, that would be a freshman or a sophomore.
Right, I was a sophomore.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
You know, unable to drive.
Right.
That, you know, and you're just, like, dying to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like when boys are 13, it's not a particularly cute place for a lot of girls.
All right, from the 815 area code, oh, my God, I was thin, gawky, hormonal, in that I would cry over the Monkees and Paul Revere and the Raiders as if one of them would date me. Ha ha. 847 says the Beatles that got to her. So 312-981-7200. We see your texts and we get to some of your calls. So take care of that and we'll be back after this.
You are 16 going on 17,
and
baby.
We're talking about
things. Better beware, be canny and careful, baby. You're on the
take a twirl for Kathy O'Malley. No, it wasn't my favorite.
From Sound of Music.
I know. Yeah. It wasn't my favorite play. Okay. We're talking to you, and the number is 312-981-7200 about a study that was done by the World Health Organization, and it found that the most unhappy teenagers are 15-year-old girls. I wonder how many. I mean, there aren't that many happy teenagers, I don't think. But anyway, the 15-year-old girls, they walk away with the prize. So I was asking you, and do call again, 312-981-7200.
Sorry, I knocked one of you off the phone lines when I knocked the phone.
Call
so
back.
Call back, right.
What you were like or what your kids were like. This is Katie. Hey, Katie.
Hi.
Hi. Are you out on your back porch? I can hear birds.
I'm actually at my daughter's lacrosse game right now.
Oh, okay. Is this the 15-year-old daughter?
I have twin 15-year-old girls.
Uh-huh. And, how's
and
that
I,
going?
So I'm right in the middle of it, and I also remember my 15-year-old.
So tell us.
Experience very well. So I would probably agree with the study. I think it's that age where you kind of try to be, you know, knowing yourself and knowing what's going on, but all you're trying to do is be like everybody else. So I think it's kind of a tough time. And I would say, my girls, I think it's a challenging age, you know, especially being identical twin girls. I think that can be
its
own challenge.
I'll bet.
Well,
yeah.
The issues that they have as twins and, you know, having their own identity when they're in a twin ship, do they get exacerbated at the age of 15, do you think, or have they basically always been there? Of course, boys enter in.
You know, I think there's like, because they look at one another and they know that they look and are supposed to be sort of like the other person, I think. And I think as they've gotten older, it's exacerbated. They're very, very close, but they also, I think, you know, they're competitive with one another and, you know, and it's in a very insecure age and they're going, you know, they're freshmen in high school. So it's like a new school, trying to make friends and trying to, you know, both of them trying to navigate it and figure out who they are.
So you heard that and you thought, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
they like you or are they embarrassed by you, as Kathy was saying? Or?
I'd say one of them probably likes me more than the other. You know, but she, you know, I embarrass them, but I like to embarrass them. I don't really care.
That's interesting sort of... because here this is probably naive. I'm thinking, well, they're identical. They would feel exactly the same way. No, they wouldn't. Yeah. They might look exactly the same way, but they wouldn't feel the same
way.
Why
do you say you like to embarrass them?
Because I know it's easy. And it just, you know, and I have a sense of humor about it. And I think the way to get through, you know, the teenage years is having a sense of humor and knowing, you know, I mean, I remember when I was 15, I couldn't stand my mom. I mean, we're so close now, but like, you know, I couldn't, like, we could barely even talk. So I try to make my relationship with my kids a little bit more open and humorous just because my mom and I, like, I was so hard on my mom and she was, God love her, like, so patient with me. So... I try to keep those lines of communication open and keep it as like
one of our texters says, when I was shopping with my 14-year-old son, he told me, Mom, if you have to talk to me, don't move your lips. So maybe 14-year-old boys and 15-year-old girls.
I have an 11-year-old girl too. And she, she's getting there where she's like, Mom, don't sing that song, please. Like, don't sing anything, you know. So,
right.
But I will. Like, I'll sing louder in the car and I'll turn the music louder just because I think, you know, and then they kind of laugh, you know. So,
is it your music or their music?
I feel for them because I think it's a really, really hard time.
It is hard.
Don't know who you are and you're trying to figure it out,
sure.
But yet you're trying to fit in with everybody around you.
Right.
So,
right.
At 15, I had a really, really, I decided to bleach my hair with lemon juice and hydrogen peroxide.
Uh-huh.
I thought that would look really good.
That was probably really good for the quality of it, right?
Right. Well, and the dark brown hair goes well, so it kind of got blonde, and then it turned green.
Green.
Sure.
How green was it?
Right.
Because I did that with my hair, too.
That section was green, and not like a, like, oh, you dyed your hair green. It was like, oh, what happened to your
Something
hair?
Something bad happened.
And I remember I was running for, like, secretary at our school or whatever at the time, and like no surprise that I didn't win.
there you go
Katie, anyway. Thank you for the call.
Enjoy the game on this beautiful day.
Thank you.
Talk okay you. 312-981-7200 is the number. We're getting calls and we're getting texts. My 15-year-old son years ago when we were shopping went nuts when I pointed out something on sale. He was mortified that I was saying the word sale out loud. It's very difficult to shop with kids in their teens. 15, acne, ugly glasses, bad clothes, afraid of boys, not one of the pretty girls, no friends, and miserable. Doesn't matter now, but it was all the world then.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is Gilda.
Hi, Gilda.
Hi.
Ladies, I am so thrilled you're back on the air.
Thank you.
Well, thanks.
It's so wonderful. So my story is also a shopping story. I'm a guidance counselor in a high school. I think I have all the answers, and I'm shopping with my lovely daughter and the woman behind the counter. I have the credit card, okay? And we're at the counter, and the woman says to my daughter, "Oh, you look so much like your mother." And I'm thinking, I'm beaming and thinking, my daughter is going to say, "Oh, thank you so much." Suddenly, I see her. She's like leaping across the counter. She's going to kill the woman. She's leaping right out of the woman. And I thought, oh, my God, how did this happen? Yesterday, we were best friends. Today, she's ready to murder somebody for looking like me. So then shortly after that, I heard about a book by Anthony Wolfe called Get Out of My Life, But First Will You Drive Me and Cheryl to the Mall.
I remember that book. I remember that book.
And I found my life's calling. Because you know this, we all talk about that perfect child, but we don't talk about these incidents. And so it's so important. And I realized this is what I'm made to do. So we started this Glenbard Parent Series. And my daughter and I, every day, really, she's grown. And we go back to those days. And we talk about them still because they were so painful. And, you know, every day we say, we are so grateful that we're through that. But if you think about it, who's going to love them at this horrible time but their family, their mother? Who's going to be the one? Their friends won't put up with that kind of stuff.
Right.
And they so don't want your love. You know?
Yeah, exactly. No, don't love me. Please don't love me. Yeah.
That's it. We had a speaker as the part of the series, Madeline Levine, and she talked about, don't stop loving me now when I need you the most. And that was my mantra.
Exactly.
It's really not about you as a mom. It's about everything that they're going through.
Right.
So you listen, you don't judge, you're there, and understand it's not forever. They will grow out of this, and they'll remember that you were there for them.
Okay. But they're stingingly
Gilda,
mean.
Thank thanks
you,
for
Gilda.
The call.
Bye-bye.
Well, I need to talk to you girls. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Tears of a clown. when you have a chance, check out our Facebook page, the Kathy and Judy page on Facebook. There's just a little thing in there about medical stuff.
Tearing eyes and
right,
stuff.
Tearing eyes. And then we tell the story, and engineer extraordinaire Bob Ferguson, he's got an eye thing going on,
he's
too.
He's rubbing
this
his eye.
Your eye looks swollen.
Yeah, I think it's infected or something. I think I have something in there.
Oh, hun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're quite the trio.
Aren't we, though?
Good thing Kristen's
Kristen,
here to
how's
document
your eyes? Are your eyes okay today, hun? Kristen Decker?
Yeah, my eyes are fine. I just
anything
have
so far
like a thing on my neck, you know?
Oh, okay. Oh.
All right.
That's
we won't
right.
Go
you
into
do
that.
Have a thing on your neck. Okay. This is leading in to a medical thing, a gynecological medical thing.
And listen when
I,
up.
And when I encountered this, when I learned about this, I was surprised at my first reaction, and then I thought, wait a minute, think this through. Here's what I'm talking about. Apparently, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you doctors and nurses and medical personnel, apparently nowadays it is not uncommon for a woman to choose to have a cesarean section, not because something's wrong or anything else, but to preserve her vaginal integrity. Now, so my first thought was, harumph. And then I thought, wait a minute. If that had been an option when you had your babies and you knew what might happen 40 years later, would you have done that?
Well, what
and
is
I
the
think,
thing that could have...
Yeah.
What is I, that? Wait. I'm unclear.
Okay.
And I'm certainly walking around with one of those. So,
okay, right.
So my question is, what... Are you talking about in other than dryness?
Oh, no. To preserve your vaginal integrity.
Okay, here comes the definition.
Okay. Well, it means that you remain the way you were before you had children. When
so
you have a baby, when you have a child the regular way, give birth to it, and it emerges from where it emerges from, there are things that happen.
But you're being so...
There are muscles that get compromised. There are things
Oh, it's not so tight.
Well, there's that. But also years later, you know, there can be pelvic floor issues and everything else, as there have been for
many of us. Oh, falling floors.
Something like that. And I just wonder, I mean, this is one of the rare cases in which I changed my mind, in which I, after my first reaction, which was harumph, you know, why wouldn't you just go through giving birth? But if having a cesarean section now is simpler than it ever was, and there are less attendant problems, and at the time of the child arriving and years later, why wouldn't I would have done it? If somebody had said to me when before my kids were born, look, at you have this option. You have the option to have this baby the regular way, bottoms up, or we can do a cesarean and make a small incision and deliver the baby that way. And then your pelvic floor and everything else remains the same for the rest of your life.
Okay,
and
I think I would have said,
sign me up.
Okay.
So 312-981-7200.
Can
ladies.
I respond?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
Number one, I have never seen you try to be so delicate about a topic.
Well,
you know, I know people, we're on the radio, but
I know.
We know all the right
it's
words.
Like they say on The Moth, this is a warning that you may hear material that's not for young or more sensitive listeners.
I don't know where the young and sensitive are when it comes to our audience.
Okay,
so
good
I'm
point.
Not worried.
Good point. Okay.
I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
And, oh, what were the second and the third things? Oh, I would have made a different decision.
If you had been offered that option.
Yeah, because I know this sounds stupid, but, you know, that's sort of the way nature works. But I do think that because people live longer and are having sex longer,
right,
you know, that I suppose it makes sense. I mean, there are women dating in their 70s, and I don't know. I imagine that they have sex with the people they're dating
with. Well, there are married people in their 70s that continue to have sex.
That would be
but
true.
But I'm just saying that, I mean, I think about somebody, and I'm not going to be that delicate here, like Michelle Duggar. That girl must have to wear a sling. Because there have been so many babies that came
out of that
clown
door.
Car that she has to have been pelvically compromised. And some of
that's
us,
not the only
even
place
some,
she's compromised.
Even some of us who had only two children found ourselves in our later years being pelvically compromised. And I'm just curious about if you had. If you had the option, we're talking to our girlfriends and women who are past their childbearing years, would you have taken that? Karen?
Yes.
Hi, you have children.
I have two children, both weighed over 10 pounds when they were born.
Yes. But you had them the standard way. You had a vaginal birth.
Yes, and I think you're referring to prolapses that happen after years after we've given birth.
No kidding.
Down.
Right.
And, but when I gave my children, who are 27 and 31, cesareans were not an option. I mean, that was the last minute option. And a physician would only do that if it was absolutely necessary.
And
right.
Doesn't it,
but,
never a choice.
Doesn't it still involve an anesthetic? I mean, having.
Usually a spinal. It's usually a spinal.
No, I didn't have that. Neither
no.
Did I have anything?
No. I'm not talking about a vaginal birth. We're talking about a cesarean. So, Karen, here you are. You're familiar with what happens, that you can have all kinds of prolapse issues years after you had your babies. If you had known that and you had been given the option at the time your babies were born, would you have said, yeah, I'll take a cesarean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, me
but
too.
But you don't definitely have a prolapse issue. I don't know what percentage of women.
I wonder what percentage of women do. I don't know.
I think more than we think, and that.
Well, it's not something people talk about,
right?
Yeah.
There are all kinds of. From what I understand, there are many kinds of prolapses, from vaginal to bladder, all kinds, and to remedy them, they require surgery.
Yep.
So
renovate.
And some of us have more than one.
Yes.
I'm not saying who. All right, Karen, that's what we need
what
to know.
The percentage is.
Thank you. I wonder what the percentage is. Some medical, we have to have a gynae person listening. What percentage of women in their midlife or later wind up having prolapse, pelvic prolapse problems? which you could probably avoid. Although, wait a minute. Oh, we had somebody that said there may be prolapse problems also with C-sections, but it looks like we lost them. Well, we'll get back to you. 312-981-7200. You've got grown kids. If you had known then what you know now and you had been offered the option of having a cesarean section, which apparently happens more often now, would you have taken it? We're Kathy and Judy, back after this.
Having my baby.
Yeah. We're talking about...
And he's not worried about prolapse.
No, that's right. About the fact that nowadays, my understanding was that having a cesarean section is an option, even if you don't have other problems, to, quote, preserve vaginal integrity. What about that, Dr. Lauren Stryker?
Well, it's interesting because we are hearing a lot more about it, but it's not as new as you would think. And in fact, in Brazil, the C-section rate is like something crazy, like 98% or something.
Wow.
And in fact, I think the only people that do have vaginal deliveries are the ones that just can't get to the hospital in time for their C-section. And it's with this whole notion of, we have to protect the pelvis. And not so much the vaginal integrity as the pelvic floor, all those muscles that keep you from peeing every time you cough, laugh, and sneeze.
Right.
And so there is no question that women who do not have vaginal deliveries, who have C-sections, are less likely, it's not a guarantee, but less likely down the road to have problems with things like urinary incontinence.
Right.
So
now,
the real question is can someone just walk in the door and say, hi there, you know, I'm pregnant and I want a C-section, and how likely is it that your doctor is going to do it? And one thing that I think is really important to know is once you've had a vaginal delivery, the damage is done. You know, so like if
all it takes is one baby slipping through there.
All it takes, or not so much slipping,
pushing through there.
Yes, so if you've had the 9-pound baby and things are not as you want it to be, it's not like the second go around, if you have a C-section, that's going to do you any good.
Dr. You know, Stryker, really, do you ever see women of a certain age, usually middle-aged and older, who have any kind of prolapse issues, either with uterine or vaginal or bladder or whatever, who have never had a vaginal delivery?
Absolutely. Because what we know is that, yes, I'm sorry to tell you that, but the truth is that when you look at risk factors for all of those problems, you know, the prolapse and everything, yes, vaginal delivery is at the top of the list. But we also know that things like genetics, smoking, some medical conditions, obesity, all of those things can also contribute to someone's likelihood that they're going to have problems with incontinence and prolapse. So this idea that if you have a C-section, that it's some kind of a guarantee that you're not going to have those problems, I wish I could say it's true.
It could help.
It could help. No question.
Okay.
No question. But then you have to also say, okay, but what's the risk of a C-section? And C-sections, of course, are much, much safer now than they were years ago. It's not C-section number one so much that's the issue. It's C-section number 2, 3, or 4. So if someone says, I'm only having one baby, you know, I'm 40 years old, I'm only going to have one baby, this is it, and I want to protect my pelvic floor and my vagina and all of that, is it crazy to request a C-section? Actually, it's not.
Okay.
But if you're saying, I'm going to have 3 kids, not so much. Then you start to get into the risky
stuff. And the numbers we see online that I'm checking say an estimated 11 to 19% of women will undergo surgery for pelvic prolapse or urinary incontinence. And 30% of them will require an additional surgery to correct the problem.
And,
so those numbers
and those are the ones, and those are the ones that have surgery. The much bigger number, of course, is the women that are just buying diapers. So when we look at those numbers, we're looking at 30% of the population it has problems with losing urine.
So,
and now we're actually steering towards the non-surgical fixes because we do have a number of things that actually work. You know, we all know that Kegels, you can Kegel till the cows come home.
Right.
And you're still laughing with your legs crossed.
Right.
But
that was the title of one of our CDs. Laughing with our legs crossed. Right.
Legs crossed, there exactly. But there's actually some new devices that you can buy that are kind of cool. There's one
like
called,
pessaries?
No, a pessary is something a doctor does to put in your uterus. I'm talking about pelvic floor strengthening devices, you know, a Fitbit.
Oh, I've seen those, like weights and stuff.
Nice birthday present.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you, the weights don't do it, but there's one that's really cool called LV, E-L-V-I-E, and LV syncs by Bluetooth to your phone.
Hello, vagina.
It's amazing. And so when you squeeze on your phone, you can see the little ball going up and down, so you know if you're doing it right. And
oh my God!
I think that's the greatest.
Tell us what's that? What is that, Dr. Stryker?
It's called LVELVIE. It's over the counter, and it's actually one of the pelvic floor strengthening options that we're recommending now to avoid surgery. I mean, I think it is absolutely inexcusable to normalize diapers. It makes me nuts. This whole thing of, oh, it's okay to wear a diaper. No, it's not okay. Yes, you do it if you need to as a means to deal with a problem, but you don't say, and it's okay for adults to be wearing diapers.
For the rest of our lives.
We should put that on our website, Lauren. So it's LV.
ELIV.
It's ELVIE. LV. And it's over the counter. It's from the UK. It's a pretty cool thing.
Okay. And it hooks up to your iPhone.
It hooks up to your whatever mobile device you
want. Okay.
And you can wear it and like go out shopping or something. You know?
Oh, this is a long line. I think
hello,
I'll just
this is your vagina. I'm sorry, I'm busy right now.
but it is. I mean, it's a real problem, and we laugh about it, of course. But it's for women who are just dealing with this.
Thank
it's
you.
Horrifying.
Absolutely.
And it's not just older women. It's, you know, we see women in their 20s and 30s because if they've had kids, they can have this issue.
Taking a beating. So, exactly. Dr. Stryker, where can people find you?
Your vagina's been to war and refugee camps.
What's your website?
My website is drstryker.com.
And that's STRECHER.
Yes, okay. And I'm doing all kinds of live events and talks. So if you sign up, you'll get invitations to fun stuff where we talk about this. Bring
Excellent.
It out in the open.
Great to talk to you.
Lauren, it's great to talk to you.
Thanks for the professional information.
Bye.
Anytime.
Bye-bye. We're Kathy and Judy. Our number is 312-981-7200. You're cheating hard. Well, didn't we get some interesting texts from the last half hour's discussion? We read your texts and we see what you're calling about, and sometimes we're able to.
Do you want to read any of them before we? Why are they mean?
But no, some of them are just very harumphy. You know, they're just like, hey,
it was good enough for me.
If I can rip mine up, you can rip yours up. No, that's not what they said.
Well, I do post all the texts.
Oh, you're posting
in
the texts?
Our live blog. So.
Oh, okay. So go to wgnradio.com/Kathy and Judy.
Yep.
And you can see some of the texts that we see.
Pretty much all of them.
Right. And which don't always get on the air.
Mm-hmm. And they're archived.
Right. But they're not. We don't put the numbers up.
No.
Right.
Just
so
the
people
text.
can't. Call.
We just us personally have the pleasure of knowing exactly who you
are
when you text in.
Well, exactly how to call you, certainly. Well, yeah. We just heard your cheating heart, and the reason that was the intro is because the topic that we're going to talk about is this cartoon I saw, and it was two little kids saying to their mother, "Can you pretend for once your grandma and give us everything we want?"
Yes.
I just thought it'd be fun to talk to some grandparents, of which I'm not one, but that about what you've given your grandchildren or done with your grandchildren that their parents probably didn't appreciate.
Well,
or probably wouldn't have.
There was
you know.
An expression in our family, and the expression was, "That's only with grandma." And that would involve, I don't know what, whatever, you know, swearing in the car or standing on a coffee.
Oh, you used to let them swear.
The boys.
Right.
Standing on a coffee table, just stuff you wouldn't do at home. Mm-hmm. And then somebody once gave me one of those little signs that says what happens at grandma stays at grandma's. So there is a thing about being a grandparent. It's a very, I think, non-judgmental. These children, you love them like crazy, but they are not on your report card. And so you probably do things that you might not have, not horrible things. I mean, you don't give them knives and stuff like that. But being a grandparent is just different. And you just,
I feel like you're defending in a way, not that you're defensive, but which
I am
which
defensive.
Okay, so you're being defensive about
yes.
this, Kathy. And you're defending what is, I can't say bad behavior. But can you wouldn't have let your...
Can I have another ice cream cone?
Of course.
Of course you can. As a parent, no, honey, one ice cream cone is enough. It's that kind of thing. It's not horrible stuff.
Maybe it is.
A second now, ice cream you, cone
not
once
that
in
one,
your...
But we have listeners who may have...
done horrible things.
Or things with... that actually they got in trouble, you know, for because... The what happens at grandma stays at grandma's was invoked but not followed,
right?
And that can happen. Or if you're the mother where a grandmother did that, you know, and you busted them, how long it took you to get unmad or like that, just how the situation
if there,
has
if
happened.
There was something,
we'd love to hear it,
right? 312-981-7200. If there were something that I knew was really problematic for my kids, if I were to do it with their children, I wouldn't have done it. But an extra ice cream cone or standing on a coffee table or going out to O'Hare.
What about the shaving cream fights?
Shaving cream fights in the bathtub.
That's my favorite thing you did.
That was fun for them. But it probably wasn't something that they would do with their parents. It didn't hurt anybody. It didn't cause any bad behavior. It was just fun. So here's Grandma Caroline.
Hi Caroline.
Good morning, gal.
Good morning. How can you relate to this?
It's my sister's grandchildren. I don't have them, but when they come to visit from Colorado, where they're quite healthy, the parents raised the two little boys who were adorable and always told them, they never took them to McDonald's. They called it Dirty Donald's and told them it was dirty there. So that's how they told them they wouldn't go there.
Okay.
So they would love when they came to grandma's house because they always got to go to McDonald's and get a hamburger.
And not tell.
And it was just, they would never tell their parents, but they were thrilled because they knew grandma was taking them to Dirty Donald's.
And that doesn't seem like a horrible thing.
No, but if you were the parent, you'd be ticked off.
If my kids had said, please don't take the kids to McDonald's, I wouldn't have.
Well, that's like saying she didn't say not to.
Exactly, right. That's your rule at your house. And as my kids used to say, that's only with grandma. So
that's
they would
right.
be clear that there were different boundaries when you were with grandma.
As
right.
in none.
One time had chocolate chips for lunch, and the little guy ran past the counter when I stopped, and he just was squealing with excitement. He goes, we had chocolate chips for lunch, and we're not telling mom.
Okay. Both were delicious.
There
I'm
you
sure.
go. Thanks, Caroline. On the text line from 630, I let my granddaughter stand in the car with her head out the roof vent while I drive slowly on side streets. That's funny. 312-981-7200. Sharon.
Hi.
Hi, Grandma.
Well, it's Mimi, but
okay.
Grandma works too.
And what did you do that's a grandma thing?
Well, we took my grandson to the zoo, and there was a face painting kiosk, mm-hmm. and he just kind of looked at me, and he goes, can I get my face painted? I said, sure. He painted his whole face in Spider-Man. He goes, wow, my mom would never let me do this.
So did he go home with it on his face?
Oh, yeah, and she just kind of looked at me when we got home and said, gee, thanks. It was great.
But it's not a horrible thing.
And it's impermanent.
Right.
No, but of course it was kind of all over his shirt a little bit when he got home because we were in Indianapolis and we came back.
Oh, it was away, away. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope you took a picture.
Oh, many.
Right. Thank you, Cher.
You're welcome.
Thank you, cheating grandma. Several are on the line.
The only time I got mad was when I'm assuming that's the grandmother. The only time I got mad was when she gave my sick son a chocolate shake after I told her not to.
That's bad.
And he threw it up on the cream-colored carpet. Yeah, if they tell you not to, you don't. But we're here to hear
no
more of the
for
things
little
you
Roger.
Weren't.
Right.
We'll be back with more of the things you were not told not to do.
Grandpa. Tell me about the good old days.
Talking about grandmas or grandpas who cheat, in other words, do something that they know can't be done at the child's home, and they haven't been told not to do that specific thing, right. So they think it's a good idea to do it.
This was a horrible example. One of our texters said, this one is from Ask Amy. The parents had the little boy's hair long and flowing, and while the grandmother babysat for the afternoon, she had his hair cut very short. Without the knowledge or permission of the parents.
No.
That is such a violation. I can't imagine that those parents would have said, you're not taking care of him anymore. You blew it. That is unacceptable. That is way different than an extra ice cream cone.
Or a shaving cream war.
Exactly.
It absolutely is.
312-981-7200.
This is Bonnie.
Actually, this is Kathy.
Oh.
Hi, ladies.
Hi. Kath.
Hi. Okay, so I'm the mim to seven little ones, five and under.
Uh-huh.
And it's a blast. But what my motto when they ask me anything is I have no more nose left in me. And I just tell them I used up all my nose raising their parents, and I don't have any more nose. And therefore, I always just say go ask your parents because it's just too heartbreaking to say no all the time anymore. And they love it. They always come up to me and say, do you have any nose left in you today?
No nose.
It's really cute.
There you go.
No nose left. So anyway.
There you go.
Lots of fun with that one.
Thank you, Kath.
Okay, bye, guys.
Okay, and this is Bonnie. Hi,
hey, Bonnie.
Hi. I love you, girlfriend.
Thank you
so much. I have a very sweet and nostalgic story because
both my
parents have passed on. Now my daughter is 44 years old, but when she was a toddler, well, even when she was a baby, sitting in a high chair visiting at their house, and I saw what went on. Lord only knows how much ice cream she had when I wasn't there, but his big thing was babies always have to have ice cream because it's so much fun to watch them eat it, and they love it so much, and they just think the world of their grandparents when they get it. So my dad always had a bowl of ice cream for Heidi, my daughter's name, who's 44. And so if the ice cream was almost all gone, my father would yell to my mother across the room. My father's name was Richard. He would yell, Karma! The baby needs more ice cream. it was just the thought. It just hit me. Is that you guys are talking about what a sweet, innocent little thing.
The baby needs more ice cream.
I know. Karma, the baby needs more ice cream. And they went on to have more grandchildren. But I don't. And of course, she was the first grandchild.
Okay. So there's that too. Right.
She was so round. She was so chubby, and she had
ice cream
hair. Her name, her nickname was Buddha.
She looked like a Buddha. That's the one that's 44 now, right?
She doesn't look like that. No, she didn't. But it's just sweet.
It is. Thanks for that one, Bonnie.
Well, you're welcome. Okay. Have a great day.
Thanks. And this is Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi, you're the spoiled grandchild talking now.
My brother and I both. We would go visit my grandparents who lived on a rural mountainous area where they retired, and we would beg my grandfather to let us drive his truck. We were 12 and 11.
Oh, my God.
And one morning at breakfast, he looked at my dad. He goes, I'm going to take the kids out driving. Now, this was my dad's stepdad. And my dad looked at him, and we thought, oh, my God, you told him. We were terrified. And my dad goes, whose car, mine or yours?
Grandpa, really?
My truck. And my dad's like, all right, they're not driving my car, though.
So how, at that age?
On a 55-mile-an-hour road in the back of this pickup truck with my idiot brother driving on a two-lane highway. And then we reversed positions.
How would your feet even reach the pedals at that age?
I don't know. I don't remember that, but we did. I remember driving it.
At 11 and 12, your grandpa let you drive his truck.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
How'd you do on your driver's test when you were 16?
Oh, fine.
Okay.
Out of practice.
Thanks, Kim. This is Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
I will call me Gigi because that's what my grandson calls me.
Okay.
And my grandson and I like to do some funny things. And he's now 11, but when he was 8, we decided to go to the movies in our pajamas.
You too?
Oh, yes. Well, I wore sweatpants and the top.
But probably looked like half the people there.
Precisely, and we were in Dallas, and we wore our house slippers, and we had the best time. We had all the popcorn we wanted, and we just giggled the whole time.
There you go. It's
movies in pajamas. Yeah.
Called being a grandparent. Thank you.
That's it. I took a little vodka with me, though. But,
now you're talking, Grandma.
Thanks, Geezy.
Oh, thank you, lady.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
And this is Melanie. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Good. I am a grandmother of 86, and my daughter still says to me on occasion, you would have never allowed us to do that.
You kind of cut out there, Melanie. Say again.
I said, my daughter still says to me, you would have never allowed us to do that.
To do what?
To do whatever we've done with the kids that we would never have allowed them to do.
Oh, the parents said that to you. Well, absolutely. Right. Absolutely, yeah. Because as we pointed out, they're not on your report card.
Right, that's right.
And right.
So what's the wildest thing you did with them?
Well, the last thing we did with them? We took them to Legoland.
To Legoland?
And okay, that's not crazy.
Without permission? No.
Melanie, we got to ask, what are you moving or are you vacuuming or something while you're talking with us?
But I put it on speaker and I can't get it off. I've lost my screen. Let me see if I can do that.
Okay, no, that's okay. That's so. Okay, because there's a lot of something going on there.
And I can't give you a specific thing right now.
Okay. It's still going on. I'm sorry.
Okay, Mel. Thanks.
I'm sorry, Melanie.
Thanks for the call. And this is Vicky. Hi, Vicky.
Hi.
We're going to wrap it up here.
My mom lived with us the last year and a half of her life, and we always told her, please don't give snacks to the dog because he wasn't eating his food. Well, my mom passed last summer, and when we were cleaning out the closet, we found a box of dog food.
Busted, but dead.
Yep.
So, very sweet. God. Thanks, Vicky.
It answered a lot of questions.
I'll bet. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jitterbug, fuddy-duddy, bluffing, I'm a bug, dang, nabbit, bug, dang, cahoots, not a bug, such cool duck, kiss, knucklehead, pretty pooper, backseat, bingo, daddy.
Slang over the years, colloquialisms in particular, is what we're talking about, and colloquialisms by state. I know that there are regions of the country where it's called soda, where a carbonated drink is called soda. And in others, it's called pop. And
in Georgia, they just call it Coke. Any beverage is Coke.
Anything that's carbonated is, yes, Coke. Right. Okay. So I saw a list the other day, and this is off the NPR website. By state, they're called regionalisms. And it was interesting because Illinois, the one that was listed for Illinois, neither Judy nor I knew what a scramble dinner was.
What is it?
It's a potluck supper. But we always called it a potluck supper.
That must be downstate.
I don't know. A scramble dinner.
I never heard of that. It was
Nor did
potluck.
I. And California, Judy was raised in California and lived there till she went off to college. The one that they have for California is make the riffle.
That must be since I left.
It must be because that's apparently a colloquialism that means to succeed. Boy, Bonnie Franklin really made the riffle, didn't she? Something like that.
She's still dead.
Right. Okay, so we're asking those of you who live in another state and listen to us.
We're kind of awful today.
That's what we do. You mean we or me?
No, I just said that about Bonnie
Franklin. All right. So we're asking those of you who live in other states or who grew up and spent a lot of time in other states to tell us where you came from, and we'll see if you recognize the colloquialism on this list. Hi, Kate.
Hi, you two.
Hi, where are you from?
Well, I am from Chicago, but lived for 20 years in Idaho.
Okay. Idaho.
Okay, it's okay. Don't
Don't worry. Idaho, because of the mountains, nothing else. It's stunning, gorgeous. Not many people know about it, and it's breathtaking. Anyway, so...
And Ted, what's his name? Yeah. Doesn't he have his ranch up there? The rich one.
Turner.
Ted Turner.
Ted Kaczynski? No.
Well, Ted Kaczynski probably... Isn't that where Ted Turner's house is?
Montana, I think he's Montana. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right.
David
next door.
David Letterman, too.
Okay.
He's over there.
Here's the anyway. Word. Here's the word for Idaho. See if it means anything to you. Lucerne. Okay. What's Lucerne?
Lucerne.
L-U-C-E-R-N-E.
In France. That's in France. What does... They don't even know French in Idaho.
No.
Well, it's not French, and it says it's a word for alfalfa, which apparently there's a lot of in Idaho.
Oh, all over my property.
Okay, but you've never heard of it.
Nope.
Okay.
Okay, so now wait, what do you bring to us that you said was a colloquialism in Idaho?
I have two. Okay. Okay, first one, when I first moved there, got out, and I'm still looking like Chicago, not out there. So I get out of my Jeep and go in and pay for it, and the guy, one of the cowboys in the gas station says, wow, nice outfit. So I stopped and I looked at myself and I said, oh, okay, thanks. And he said, I mean your truck.
Oh, oh okay. So outfit, outfit is another word for truck.
Like rig or something.
Right.
Like
that.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the other one, you just mentioned riffle.
Yes.
It's R-I-F-F-L-E, right?
Was this for California? Yes, California. Make the riffle.
Well, fly fishermen and, maybe more than fly fishermen, but when you fly fish, you try to hit the riffle in the river because it's a fast-moving but low spot in the river, and that's a perfect place to plant a fly so you get a nice little brook trout.
Well, that would actually tie in with what it says that means. It means to succeed. So,
that's true.
So if you... pop your fly into a good place in the river, that would be
is
making the riffle.
Made the riffle.
Making the riffle, right, to succeed. So
making
maybe they're
the
just, they're
the,
a little bit
riffle,
south.
Yeah, the riffle there, though, in fly fishing
is a river.
A noun.
Right.
It's a noun.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, we're glad you're back from Idaho, Kate.
You and me both.
Okay. All right.
Here where there are no mountains.
There you go. 312-981-7200. If you'd like to play, if you're from another state, give us a call. Connie is from Maryland, right?
Yes.
All right. How long did you live in Maryland?
Oh, I grew up there. I didn't move to the Midwest till I was first married at 21.
All right.
Now, did you bring us a colloquialism as well as want to see if you can define what Kathy's going to tell you?
The one on the list.
Yes.
All right.
Well,
okay.
When your family would, the closest place to go to play on the beach or something would be Ocean City, Maryland. But if you were from Baltimore, you didn't say, we're going to Ocean City. You would say, I'm going down the ocean, hun.
So I'm going down to Ocean Hun.
Hun is added to everything. Actually, I think in Maryland, they put some signs up when you first crossed onto the, from the highway from Pennsylvania into Maryland. It would say, welcome to Maryland, Hun.
P-U-N.
H-O-N. So everybody's called Hun.
Oh,
Hun. Hun. Like honey.
Hun.
Like short
honey.
For
like
honey.
Honey. Short for honey.
Okay.
So if you were going to Ocean City, I'm going down the ocean, Hun. You want to come with.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you said pop and soda, it was one of the first things on my mind when I heard the call, because I thought when I moved to Ohio, which was our first stop in the Midwest,
that's
and
pop.
They said pop, we giggled because we thought it was so dumb.
Yeah, I grew
it
up
was
calling
really
it pop.
Soda.
It just we say
correct.
Soda. You're gonna have a soda.
All right. Well,
and,
the word this list has for Maryland is Snoopy.
What?
Use it in a sentence.
What? Did Snoopy mean when you lived in Maryland?
It must have been after me because
okay.
I don't remember
this says
that
finicky.
One at all.
This says finicky.
Huh.
Finicky, Snoopy.
Yeah. So this
well,
list is...
Yeah, if you were Snoopy looking into some people's things.
Well, that Snoopy would be... That would be sort of a universal meaning. But
right.
This one says that...
Right, no, I don't remember that one.
All
you
right,
washed your dishes in the zinc.
In the zinc.
Okay. The zinc. And you were from Balmer.
From Balmer, right, rather
Balmer,
than Baltimore.
Balmer, Maryland. Yep,
that's
it.
That's like New Orleans.
You glad to be back, Connie?
Oh, I get back there. My family's still there.
Okay.
So actually,
in Balmer?
In a couple of weeks. Yep.
Okay.
And you have to have crab cakes and the whole thing. Yeah,
okay. And go down to the beach, hon.
Right. No, okay. down the ocean, hon.
Down the ocean, hon. Okay.
Right.
Okay, Connie.
Bye,
thanks.
Connie.
Bye, thanks.
This is Kathy from Rhode Island who's been holding for us. Do you have a colloquialism from Rhode Island?
I do. I have a couple of them.
All right.
I have, a coffee cabinet.
What's that?
Any guesses? A coffee cabinet is a coffee milkshake. And it's only in Rhode Island that you'll hear them referred to as cabinets. You could also have a chocolate cabinet or vanilla, but in Rhode Island, coffee is the preferred flavor.
So is it made with coffee, ice cream, and coffee? How do you have that?
Coffee, ice cream, milk, and coffee flavoring. And they make it like a milkshake. Now, a milkshake is just milk and flavoring, no ice cream.
Oh, so it's thin. It's thinner.
Kathy's wincing up her face.
Huh.
Yeah, a coffee cabinet, and they are so good. In Massachusetts, they're called a frap.
Frap? As opposed to a frappe?
Oh, I don't know. That sounds too fancy.
Okay, so it's easier just to say frap. Just to frap. Go with one syllable.
Yeah. Okay, now Kathy's going to give you one, Kathy.
Here's the list. Here's the word from the list of colloquialisms. For Rhode Island, driftway.
Yes.
What's a driftway?
Drift.
Driftway.
I've never heard of that.
All right.
And I grew up in Rhode Island. Keep going.
It's an access road to the sea, or as we might say here, ocean.
A driftway
is an access road to the sea. So we are just blowing all these out of the water. All these are proving not to be.
Was that a joke with the sea and the ocean and blowing it out of the water?
Oh, I didn't even realize that I'd done
one more.
That. All right.
A bubbler.
A bubbler is a water fountain.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. I've heard that before. Right. All right.
Okay.
Well, Kathy, welcome back from Rhode Island.
Thank you. And I miss it so much. I hope you can get a chance to go there someday.
What do you miss most?
That you can drive across it in an hour and a half.
You can drive through whole New England in almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
What do you miss the most?
I miss the seafood. Mm. I miss the steamers.
Mm-hmm.
Which are clams.
I know.
And clam bakes. You know, the ocean. And just hearing the people talk. I love the, the accent when they drop the R's. Like when I went out to a restaurant when I was there and I was making my order and the waiter would keep going, sure, sure, okay. Sure.
Pack your car in the yard. Right.
Yes.
There you
exactly.
go.
Kath,
right.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, I love you too.
Oh, thanks a lot. Bye bye.
Okay, bye.
Button muffin top, who's your daddy? Redunculus, Robocopter, pushes all awesome sauce. That's a bitch.
Awesome
that's
sauce.
A bitch.
This is awesome sauce.
Sexy, my bro, man,
awesome
sauce.
I don't know. Somebody who makes
I know
pasta.
What it, no, it's on the ad, the credit card ad. Where the person, they show both the person who's calling the credit card company and the person who's answering the phone, and it turns out to be sisters.
You must.
One of them says, "Awesome sauce."
You must watch TV in real time.
You mean like I watch the commercials?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm so old-fashioned. We're talking about area.
Yeah, first word that comes to mind.
Old-fashioned colloquialisms. Hey, Tim, you're from Indiana.
Yes, ma'am, I am, and you girls are the greatest.
Well, thank you.
I am a radio freak. I listen to radio 7 days a week, all hours of day and night, and you guys are the best thing on the radio.
Well, bless your heart.
Thank
you.
We love you.
Yes, we do.
You're entertaining and fun and educational. You're the best.
Yeah, did you like the stuff about the prolapse?
Did you hear the whole show today, Tim?
Oh, yeah.
How'd you like the half hour about vaginal prolapse?
Oh, that was entertaining.
Yes, it was. Well, thank you for the compliments. And what's your colloquialism from Indiana?
I read this a few years ago that in Indiana, instead of saying envelope, that we say envelope.
Oh,
it's a pronunciation.
Like it's pronounced O-N-V-E-L-O-P-E.
Yeah.
And I say envelope, too.
I think I do, too. Have you, Tim, have you ever heard the expression belling, B-E-L-L-I-N-G, in Indiana?
No.
Well, this says Indiana, belling, and it's a loud celebration. So maybe they'd say, like, boy, it sounds like they're having a belling over at Tim's house. But you've never heard that.
No.
See, none of these are none of these are holding.
Who wrote
true.
That article?
I don't know, but let's
where'd you get it?
Let's let Tim talk some more and tell us how good we are. How much he likes us.
I'm not giving any compliments that you haven't earned.
Oh, bless your heart.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Tim. Thanks a lot.
You have a good day, girls.
You just made it. This is Fran. Hi, Fran.
Hello.
You want to know what's the colloquialism for North Carolina?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, you're gonna
table tapper.
I never heard of it.
See? None of these, it's just not working. Table tapper is an amateur preacher.
Oh, my
really?
Goodness. Bible thumper, I'd heard, but I didn't ever hear the table tapper.
Yeah. Oh, Bible thumper, right. But we've heard that, too.
Yeah,
table
that's kind of national.
Do you have one for us? Do you have something from North Carolina that we might not understand here?
Well, if you go down there and you're asking directions and they tell you it's just down the road a piece, I want you to know it could be 200 feet. Or 20 miles.
Okay. So a piece. A piece covers a lot of territory.
It's an elastic phrase.
It is a very elastic phrase, and I just love it because, you know, every time somebody tells me, well, you just go down the road a piece and you turn it in Mr. So-and-so's mailbox, you know you're going to be in for a ride.
All right. That's a good one. Fran, thanks for the call.
And thank you. I'll try to remember that table thumper. Maybe I'll find somebody who knows that.
Table tapper.
Tapper.
Right, not Bible thumper. Table tapper is an amateur preacher.
Okay.
Okay, Fran.
This article is in the magazine, Liar, Liar,
Pants on fire. Amy Guth is here, and she has a colloquialism from Louisiana. This one's great.
I have several. I have many characters in my family, but my grandmother says if somebody explains something in a way that you said that in a very understandable way, what she will say is, you sure do know how to lay the corn down where the chickens can get after it. She also says if it is raining and the sun is out, she will like clutch the pearls, right? And she will say, well, looks like the devil is beating his wife. She says that.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Beating his wife. Wow. I have no idea what that means, but that's what she says. That's her word for
rain. If there's a rainbow.
Shower. Yeah, like a sun
rain shower.
Shower.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Is she still with you?
She is.
Us?
She is.
Ask her.
I will.
Looks like the devil is beating his wife. I'll bet she learned that from her mother.
I'm sure she did.
Absolutely.
There's lots of good isms. I've lived in Texas, North Carolina, and Georgia as a kid.
Uh-huh.
There's lots of good ones. I think early when you were talking about regionalism, someone mentioned the Coke thing.
Yes. Coke and pop and soda.
Coke means Coke. Like if you order a Coke in the South, someone says, great, okay, we got Dr. Pepper, Sprite,
right.
7-Up. You know,
anything
go through.
Carbonated.
Anything carbonated means
Coke.
Coke.
That's a riot. That's
but
great.
Soda means like tonic or club soda or seltzer.
Something you can see through.
Right.
There you go.
But not Sprite.
Thanks for the clarification.
Right. But then, you know, briefly I was in New Mexico and there's a phrase there that is fascinating. And it is the entire sentence is E, no. And that is a whole sentence. That can mean like, hey, how are you? That can mean you don't say. That can mean, you know what I mean? That can be in place of A, like Canadians do. It can be a lot.
More Wisconsinites.
Yeah.
A.
E, no. That's a whole sentence. Like, hey, this, this cake is delicious. E, no.
No? Okay.
That was endlessly fascinating.
That's
that one.
Great.
Foreign languages within our own.
I know.